There were several other people standing on the platform who were hit by some debris. They sustained minor injuries.
Welcome to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, here in this hour. We're going to take you on a couple of wild journeys. Unfortunately, that one, here we go again with the train accident. We just had a train mishap in Chicago, as you remember, coming out of O'Hare, underneath O'Hare. And this time around, this was a New Jersey train death. That was Captain J.T. Miller, who you just heard. And what happened, it was happened before 5 o'clock. It was Penn Station. Man, have I ridden that train. If you go to New Jersey, a lot of people do this. They will park like in Princeton or park in one of those areas, and they take that train in to Penn Station. A man was killed and 3 people were injured. When you hear the words grisly, it's not good. And looking at the platform, this was in New Brunswick, he leaned into the path of the train, and as that happened, 3 other people were hit by the man's body as well when he leaned in, and then people screamed and whatnot. So this train hit and killed him. Now it's a question of what happened? He wasn't on the tracks. How was he leaning into it from the platforms? He realized it. And, you know, there were 300 people on the platform at the time. No one on the train was injured. I guess that's certainly the good news. But Amtrak was affected. All those transit trains were affected, too, as well. So here we start with some pretty grim things, actually. Besides the train accident in New Jersey, everybody's looking to see what's happening with the mudslide. And now the death toll with the mudslide keeps climbing. There's still some people that are missing. And at this point, they're really not talking about rescuing anyone. It's almost officially a recovery act at this point because of how many days we've been talking about and the fact that it's like quicksand still in some places. Happened on Saturday in Washington. Oso is the name of the town that was particularly hit the hardest. And now it's a question of pulling people out of it and, making sure the survivors are nursed back to health because some of them are in critical condition. And then dealing with the aftermath of this, rebuilding whatever it takes and really clearing that debris and making some decisions there. But they don't know how many people they're going to find in all. It's up to 24 now at this point. And how many more will they find? Because initially the list included 170 people. In the meantime, all eyes are still on the Ukraine and what's happened there. Coming up, we're going to take you to Moscow and get a first-hand point of view of what's going on from somebody who's lived there for 20 years. What's happening, what the people are saying, the celebrations, how Putin is being perceived by his own people, that kind of thing. In the meantime, the president talked about what the biggest concerns are after Crimea was annexed, what happens to the rest of the Ukraine, and what the biggest threat is.
Russia's actions are a problem. They don't pose the number one national security threat to the United States. I continue to be much more concerned when it comes to our security with the prospect of a nuclear weapon going off in Manhattan.
All right, so there you go. Trying to make comparisons as to where the president would rank this. Certainly the relationship between the U.S. and Russia can't be very good. That's obviously deteriorated and probably continues to do so. And how will the sanctions affect, the sanctions coming up with the banks in Russia, how will that affect the people, and will Putin back off that after that remains to be seen. So Obama taking a swipe at Putin. And so far, It's a G7, not a G8 world anymore, if you know what I mean. Malaysia and Flight 370, there's an explanation, but there's still a lot of questions. They need to find the plane is what needs to happen, but of course they're dealing with some rough waters and currents and conditions that don't lead to that off of Perth. The families of passengers on board that flight were told that the plane went down in the southern Indian Ocean. They got the message from a text. It shook a lot of them up. People are questioning that. And also questioning how do they determine how the plane went down and where it went in. A British company that carried, that has a satellite, carried the satellite analysis determining that the plane went into the southern Indian Ocean. And that's what the Malaysian Prime Minister based his text on, and saying that there's no way that the plane went anywhere else, that it went in this direction, and that all the people on it perished. So there's question marks still, and a lot of people feeling as though something else has happened and there's more to the story. The Chinese are sending their own crew to investigate, and they want the Malaysian government to cooperate and turn over the data that led to the decision that the plane was gone. No word on whether they're going to do that or not. Wreckage, to emphasize this, has not been found. Not at this point. There are a lot of resources that are being used to track the flight data recorder and anything connected to the plane. But so far, because of how remote it is and because of the stormy weather, the searches have been called off. The U.S.'s 7th Fleet has been a huge part of the search from the beginning. They've got ships and planes and all the bells and whistles to know how to do this. And they're hovering in case a debris field is discovered. They're moving a black box, locator into the area, which would provide an advantage in finding the flight data recorder, hoping that that'll help and reveal where the wreckage actually is in. And they say if they could find, or if they see it and they find scorch marks or soot, that would show that there was a fire on board, because now there's another theory that there was a fire on board, and that was part of the problem here, and there might show signs of a fire explosion, and then the cockpit would show the fire or show that the jet's emergency oxygen system was activated, or, you know, whatever might have happened. They'll get more clues from that. So that's with the relatives demanding some answers. The answers are with that plane. The faster they get to the plane, if it really is downed, then the more answers they can provide. And the pings are fading, so that's why they're moving that black box indicator as quickly as they can to that piece of the Indian Ocean. All right, hang with us. We're taking you to Moscow next here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
gold isn't for you?
Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
To speak with Jennifer Yarmeva. She's a prominent Russia expert, an award-winning blogger, columnist, and author. She's got a couple of books out. We'll tell you about those. We're pleased to welcome her to the show. Jennifer, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Good evening.
So let's talk about Crimea and the annexation of Crimea. What was the reaction in Moscow, and what did you sense from the people around you as to what happened here and ultimately that vote and what happened in the wake of that?
Well, it wasn't hard to take the mood because the mood has been absolutely celebratory since the annexation. And just to give you a really poignant illustration, on Friday night there was a 25-minute firework display in Moscow, and which simultaneously happened down in Simferopol, the Crimean capital, as well as at the military base in Sevastopol. So I really haven't met a single Russian who doesn't think that this is cause for great celebration, long overdue, and that President Putin hit it out of the ballpark.
Yeah, so speaking of Putin hitting it out of the ballpark, the current state of the Russian people, and now you just describe what they're thinking, so they're overjoyed by this. In the midst of what is controversial outside of Russia, certainly, why is it so different than what we think as Americans or so many other people listening to America Tonight?
Well, Kate, I think that's a really interesting perspective, and the best way to illustrate that, again, with it's always good to do visuals on the radio, isn't it?
Yep.
But when we look at a map of the world in the United States, we see America, North America on one side, and a large sort of clump of Europe on the other side. But when Russians look at their maps that are made here in Russia, they see a very different picture. They see their country, which, of course, is the largest country in the world, but surrounded by other countries, some of which are traditional allies and some of which are quite hostile. So increasingly, as they see those countries begin to move away politically from them, there is growing concern that the buffer states that protected them in the 20th century are beginning to ebb away. And that's the major concern about Ukraine, as apart from that's the political concern. And, of course, there are many cultural concerns as well.
Yeah, the Russians and the U.S. sanctions. What's the response to that, to what the U.S. is doing?
Well, I think that this is an interesting way that we're seeing warfare take place in the economic theater rather than the military field. Yes, I think that the sanctions are of concern. They were targeted towards Putin's close circle, the people who have come up the ranks with him and succeeded in amassing massive wealth during his tenure as president and prime minister. But we also saw Visa and MasterCard, for example, stop working with three Russian banks. That will begin to hit, you know, Ivan in the street, as we say, hard. And, you know, with a proposed $70 billion of capital flight, that's more than 2013 altogether, and that's just anticipated for this quarter. I think that the economic problems are going to be felt soon and acutely.
Yeah, so saying that you think the economic problems will be solved, and I love that Ivan in the street, when Ivan in the street starts to feel the pinch, and now they're loving Putin, will that love start to dissipate? And he doesn't want that, right? So you're thinking that, okay, they're going to play maybe let's make a deal, and the relationship will thaw perhaps with the United States?
It'll be interesting to see what happens. Putin has garnered a lot of good feeling here. First, there were the Sochi Olympics and the Paralympics, which really went off without a hitch. Russians felt incredibly proud about that. His approval rating has soared during the events in Crimea. You know, he is very adept at playing the hand he's dealt. He is a very astute political operator, and it will be interesting to see whether he can now kind of bring things to a more cordial footing. We haven't seen any sign of that. What we're seeing on the news here is a lot of coverage of how chaotic things are in Ukraine, how the current government is kind of unraveling, and how Russians, on the other hand, are bringing law, order, and higher pension payments to the citizens of Crimea. This is a message to other, you know, it's a potential message to other eastern, particularly Ukrainian cities, that, you know, if they want to have a referendum too, that's just fine. And everything seems to be in place. So we're watching with a lot of concern about what happens in Ukraine and what happens here at home with the economy.
But seeing what you're seeing on the tube with the Ukraine, that's state-run, isn't it, or no?
Absolutely, yeah. Most television is controlled by the state. So we're seeing a very interesting parallel between the coverage that we get, for example, on CNN, which I have on my local cable bundle here in Moscow, and the state-run television. We often see two very different ways of telling the same story.
Yeah. The Russian attitudes, what are they toward the United States? Or what about Obama? How did the people in Russia feel about Obama?
Well, I think they don't feel that this is his best week. And I think weak is the word that I've most often heard associated with him of late. And there's also a sense that Europe and the United States should be careful about playing in Russia's own backyard.
Ooh. All right, so be careful about playing in the backyard, or else, you know, maybe we're going to bite back?
Well, I think that, you know, the annexation of Crimea is the first time since the breakup of the Soviet Union that Russia has expanded her boundaries. There was a substantive agreement when the Russian Federation formulated itself in 1991 and broke away from the rest of the Soviet Union, that NATO would not encourage any further towards Russia and her traditional buffer state allies. And they feel that NATO has really let them down on this, and that it's absolutely unacceptable for the United States to be involved in either fomenting revolution in countries like Ukraine or, indeed, to intervene militarily. So the message is very bellicose. You know, stay away. This is our game.
Yeah. Yeah, as an American writer, but somebody who's lived in Russia for two decades and you speak fluent Russian, what is it like to be an American over there? What's it like for you? What's it been like for the two decades?
Well, like Obama, this is maybe not the best week to be an American. But I have to say that things in Moscow are very business as usual. I'm out and about, walking the streets, going out at night, meeting friends. But I do notice in most of the Russians who I interact with and talk about these events, this is all we're talking about. It's the biggest thing that's going on. There is a sense that, they're saying, you know, we're friends with you and that's great and everything, but, you know, we support the president and we think he's doing the right thing.
Wow. So as you make your way through the streets, I'm thinking this. I used to have a friend that was a basketball player, and he told me that Russia was pretty dangerous with what was happening with crime and whatnot. I mean, you're in Moscow. Do you feel pretty safe, or is it like any other big city?
You know, Moscow's like any other big city. You put your finger on it. There are parts of Moscow that I certainly wouldn't visit on my own, or, you know, even visit at all. But most of the places in the center are quite safe. I will say there's a high police presence for whatever reason. That means that things remain very calm in the streets. So I have no hesitation about being out and about. And it's, you know, spring has finally come, so it's a good time to be out and about.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we have like a minute left. Give us the thumbnail on your book, Lenin Lives Next Door, Marriage, Martinis, and Mayhem in Moscow.
Well, Kate, thank you. As the title suggests, it's a rather lighthearted treatment of Russia, Russian history, Russian culture. It's sort of 20 years of my living in Russia. I'm married to a Russian guy who I call HRH, my horrible Russian husband. And if you want to know more about the country and take a trip there without leaving your home, I do think that the book is a good way to do that. You can get it wherever great books are sold and find out more about it on Russia Light, LITE.com, RussiaLite.com. And I hope everyone will pick it up and take a read.
All right, I love that HRH, by the way. You know, it's so funny. HRH, the my nickname is HRH, but it's Her Royal Highness.
Oh, see, this is the thing. You caught the humor really quickly. I think you'd enjoy the book, Kate. We'll send you a copy. Because this is, you know, most Russian mothers bring up their sons to believe that they are, you know, from a royal house or something.
I love that. Jennifer Yarumeva, thank you so much for coming on America Tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Kate. Have a great
day. All right, you too.
Bye.
So how about that? The state of Russia and the Russian people now in the midst of what's going on. You heard it right there from Jennifer, what was being pumped across the tube with the Ukraine, and they'd be happy to hold referendums in other areas. And this is a lot of the stuff that certainly we've been talking about here on America Tonight. Stay with us, everybody.
Curious about what comes next? Next is the feeling of vulnerability you get after you arrive home to discover your house has been ransacked by burglars. Fool the bad guys with a new improved fake TV. You asked for it, we listened, and we made our new fake TV 3 times brighter than our previous model. The brightness of our new fake TV is equivalent to a 40-inch TV. It simulates the color and motion of a real TV while you're away from home. And when burglars think someone is home watching television, they're likely to pass your house and move on to an easier target. The new, brighter fake TV is only $39.95 and includes free shipping. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Most of our customers are absolutely phenomenally impressed with the product.
That's Tony, the co-founder of Heart and Body Extract, the 100% all-natural with no negative side effects supplement that supports a strong and healthy heart, strength and stamina, sharp memory, restful sleep, clean, clear arteries, and good circulation. And listen to this. In over 13 years of business, there has been no price increase for Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com. That's hbextract.com.
How can you save a ton of money and prepare for emergencies? By having your own in-home freeze dryer from Harvest Right. Now you can cut down on wasted food by freeze drying your leftovers. That's right. Create your own long-term food storage by freeze drying your own fruits, meats, vegetables, even complete meals with the Harvest Right in-home freeze dryer. Imagine the savings and the peace of mind. See how the amazing Harvest Right freeze dryer works at HarvestRight.com.
Of different directions. You want to throw in on Putin? How about Putin's power and the perspective from what's being pumped out there, as I said, and Jennifer Yarumeva just told us on state-run TV, they're celebrating over the annexation of Crimea. They're showing horrible, horrible things happening in the Ukraine. Lots of protesting and talking about how awful it is, and certainly that they would welcome anyone into the arms of Mother Russia. So it's an interesting perspective in that Obama looks very, very weak. Very weak. So there you go. 855-266-5283 as we mix it up. Sad story today from the Navy. You know, this is something we've talked about before with players collapsing at practice. And every time I see it, I just think, man, you got to wonder what was happening there. Was something with the heart? Was it something, just a freak accident or what? But a Navy football player, Will McCarney, was hospitalized since collapsing at practice 3 days ago. He died in a coma. He was just 19 years old. He was a freshman running back. His family is in Knoxville. He's from Knoxville. And he died. He ended up dying at the University of Maryland's Shock Trauma Center. His family was there, but they say they're just devastated. His classmates, his teammates, of course, not expecting this. You know, virile young guy collapses in a spring practice, and they did what they could, but they said there was no, they didn't believe that he sustained any kind of a bad hit or an unusual or extreme contact. The Navy coaches were so distraught, they poured through the films of the practice. They didn't see anything unusual. And they're trying to, the family's just trying to say, well, he died what he truly loves. I mean, and that's all we can say about that. But, Matt, I think this goes to people looking at, again, the danger of football. There's going to be people that still, no matter what they say or what they looked at the footage, that there's something to that maybe.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, I don't know why, but it seems like if this is increasing as
yes.
the younger people, like high school kids and college kids too, you haven't really seen in the pros yet. And I don't know if it's because they have different tactics, better medical staff or what it is, but I don't know. And you feel like at some point, you're going to have to make advances in the helmets or something.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think they're going to have to do that, and I think they're going to have to maybe cut down on practices. You know, sometimes it's something about the practices, too much on the bodies or whatever. Certainly we're not into the hot temperatures, and that's what's even worse when you talk about, even with the pros, when you talk about what they're doing in temperatures that are really ungodly and ridiculous. And I think football is going through a really interesting time right now, because even with the head traumas, the conversations about not having kids play football until they're 14, I mean, that's just such a slice of Americana, the peewee football and the passing of the torch to the younger son and all of that. And as somebody who loves football, I mean, it's top of my list. And I've been on the field, I've been on the pro field, a college field, I've seen, you know, what it's like. Like I said, the speed of the game is incredible. I mean, I worry for players' safety, but at the same time, you are not going to, people want to see football. People want to play, guys want to play football. And then you hear the stories afterwards. And in this case, you know, was it just kind of a freak thing? He did, and here's the thing, he did have a head injury during a game in the season that caused him to be hospitalized, right? So the family said he was cleared to resume playing football. He saw four neurosurgeons, and he went and had several CAT scans and MRIs before that. So he wasn't rolling the dice and just getting cleared and saying, okay. They felt like they really got clearance from a lot of different people, a lot of different places, but there you go again with saying the head injury thing. You know, whenever you bring that up and you think of the football players and you think of just what happened in the NFL and the fact that so many of those veterans were just, crucified with these head injuries and then what they turned into. Tony Dorsett, one of the all-time best, you know, when he played for Pitt, but also when he played for the Dallas Cowboys for all those years, and now he's got the same trouble, anger issues, problems with his head, all that kind of stuff. It's pretty scary, but it's very sad for this young guy, just 19 years old. Woo. All right, Bill in Mississippi. Hello, Bill.
Hi. I want to comment on something that's in the same ballpark, you might say. No real pun intended there. every year there are also basketball players, young kids, that just die on the court because of cardiomyopathic heart attacks caused by an enlarged heart. And, of course, the trainers really ought to be brought to task on this because most of those can be prevented because any time that you're a selenium deficient, you're at great risk of having an enlarged heart and leading to a cardiomyopathic heart attack. And that's reversible. But, of course, these trainers are not versed in that, and, you know, you just can't get through to them.
Well, so, Bill, then, you know what, you might have brought up something good, and kind of Matt touched on this. Do you need better technology for these college programs? They got to pump more money into it and get a really skilled staff where they have the ability to be able to diagnose that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, all that sounds good, but the problem is you're questioning whether or not the so-called mainstream medicine can is even qualified to even assess a thing like that? And, of course, the answer is they're not, because mainstream medicine just really knows nothing about the deficiencies in nutritional deficiencies, the nine essential nutrients. And specifically selenium is so very important, and it's hardly even found in the soil where the crops are raised. And so unless those kids are supplementing, they're not going to get enough selenium, and especially when they sweat it out, it's a wonder more of them don't die they used to call it an athlete's heart, and because of the enlarged heart caused by a selenium deficiency.
Wow. It's something good to look into, for sure. Bill, thanks for pointing that out. You know, and what Bill says is absolutely true. How many times have we had people on the show talking about what's happening with all of us with food now? Because what is it? The nutrients that we bake out of it, basically, when we eat out of boxes and we eat out of, everything we throw in the microwave. So we're losing something there, but not getting the soil that's deficient. He's right about that. So some of what we would normally have had, the great soil, which would feed the vegetables and the things that we were eating, we're certainly not getting nowadays, which is so frightening. This is why that's led to so many people growing their own gardens and trying to, you know, figure out ways around it. And probably on this show, I mean, we have probably interviewed 150 people talking about that. So maybe, you know, is there something to that? Not getting the supplements, not getting the things that somebody needs, and then combine that with a condition, and there you go. And sadly, it's too late for what happened to this football player for Navy, but too often we're seeing that happen high school level, the college level, and then the pro level. So there's something to be learned here, I think, in a couple of different directions. It's terrible, collapsing at practice and not being able to, you know, do anything about it, being stuck looking for answers and trying desperately to try to, you know, to try to revive them. Another quick note, since we're on football here for a second, the Buffalo Bills founder, a guy named Ralph Wilson, if you know very little even about football, you may have heard his name. He's a guy who helped found the American Football League in 1960. He died at his home on Tuesday afternoon. He was 95 years old, and he was the sole owner of the Bills after he established the team with the AFL, like I said, in 60. And he was key in the merger with the NFL. He was inducted into the Football Hall of Fame back in 2009. And he was a very, very popular man. Very, very, very popular. And boy, the Buffalo Bills fans have had a lot to think about. The great Jim Kelly, longtime ex-quarterback for some tremendous teams in Buffalo Bills history, has unfortunately had his cancer return, and he's got a terrible version of cancer where it's eating away at his jaw, basically, for lack of a better way to describe it. And it's just the saddest thing to hear the story about Jim Kelly and his family really surrounding him. It's so aggressive, this reoccurrence. It's oral cancer. And he's had surgeries, and it looked like he was doing okay and that he was for a while in remission, but he's going to have surgery again. And when they say it's that aggressive and he feels that awful, I mean, that's really the only thing that they can do. Speaking of your health, coming up next, Dr. David Hochberg joins us to talk about Obamacare 4 years later.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy viruses. byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Question: could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer: yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Can you believe it? It's been 4 years since the introduction of Obamacare, a.k.a. Affordable Health Care Act. And where are we now? Dr. David Hochberg, practically a regular here on America Tonight, senior fellow for healthcare policy at the National Center for Public Policy Research, did a terrific blog on the winners and the losers of this whole thing. So we thought that we would snag him for the show. Doc, thanks for coming back on.
Oh, thank you, and feel free to call me David.
All right, excellent. We will do that. So, Obamacare, give us really the real losers in this.
Well, I think the best way to start out by talking about it is just, you know, point out that to keep track of the losers of Obamacare, you need a scorecard. To keep track of the winners, you need a search party. The most obvious losers are the people who lost their health insurance last year, and among those people who went on the exchanges or elsewhere and had to pay higher premiums than they initially did. Among them, there's also ones that have had, you know, serious problems trying to keep their doctors. Some of them have encountered serious glitches with the various exchanges that have actually left them uninsured for brief periods. And in some cases, a guy needed a heart operation. I think his name was Lenny Basich, I think was the name. And he was uninsured, and so now he's got, you know, $400,000 in hospital costs that he has to somehow come up with. There are other losers. Doctors, for example, can no longer own their own hospitals. So physician-owned specialty hospitals are, at some point, may become a thing of the past. a tax on, let's say, medical devices, which is not going to be good for, R&D and in the medical device industry, which means, less innovation, less new products for, that'll be produced. And, both of those things, doctors not being able to own hospitals, less medical devices probably means, less innovation and so forth and, less improvement in quality. And ultimately that's going to come to harm patients. So there's a ton of losers. I mean, we can start going into some of the impacts it's had on employment. Where do you want to go next?
Yeah, boy, no kidding. And especially the physicians who can't even start their own hospitals and things that have happened there. And how many physicians have bailed out of the industry? I know four. One of them was my own doctor.
Yeah, I don't think we'll fully know that for another 2 or 3 years from now. I think some of the polls that said, 43% of doctors were, going to jump out. I suspect that's probably, that was to some extent doctors, venting a bit of frustration. But look, if this thing really turns into another pain for doctors, another, big adding on to the layers of bureaucracy that they already have to deal with, then you'll see something of a, at least maybe a mini exodus of doctors. But again, that's not going to be known probably for until a few more years of this, passes.
Yeah, so in saying that, keeping the scorecard, and I love your sarcasm, David, by the way, because I'm right there with you, but it's so true. But what if, so who wins in this? I mean, the winner is what the president wanted this to be, his signature policy, so he rolls it out, pushes it forward, it gets through. Who wins?
Well, people who, let's say, have not been able to get insurance for a number of years, maybe with a pre-existing condition, and have now been able to get it through the exchange. I mean, those are the winners. But, those people are, I don't think really in any meaningful sense outnumber the losers in all of this. I guess some of the people going on the exchange who were previously insured and are now going on the exchange and getting a nice tax taxpayer subsidy, I guess you can include them among the winners as well. But the overall, I think the winners in this is not that number is not particularly great when you balance it against the losers.
Yeah, as it continues to unfold, because there's still other things that have to happen here with this law, including what happens with the fines and tracking down people and how many people were hired by the IRS. Personally, I think that's going to be a fiasco because, again, that's now a bureaucratic nightmare in keeping track of all of that. Do you think they're going to have trouble in, finding out who they've got to fine and who's going after them with all the people they hired at the IRS? It seems like that could be a mess.
Well, I think the smart money is definitely on it being possibly another train wreck, given the way so many of these other things have worked out. And just to let you know, there was just a news story out that basically the March 31st deadline for the exchanges is more or less now kaput because they're going to let people sign up now by checking this blue box saying that, they tried to sign up by the deadline but couldn't get through. They're, of course, going to base it on the honor system, so they're going to have no way of knowing if anyone's just, who signs up in July because they really need insurance and, never did try to sign up before. So, look, this thing has just been, it's been made up on, so much of the rules have just been made up on the fly, made up as what's been convenient to the administration. And, I think you're going to see a lot of problems with enforcing the individual mandate. And I suspect they'll just do the sort of ad hoc, make the rules up as they go along on that one as well.
Yeah. If if you were in charge of this and you were part of a committee and doing the fact finding, the research and everything else, and there was a road to affordable health care, what do you think that is? What does that look like?
Well, I think the first thing would not be to not put me in charge. I mean, I having that kind of power always sort of, just thinking about that kind of scares me. But I think the first thing I would just do is look for ways to get away from this third-party payer system that we have. And that would include maybe a system of tax credits that you could use to buy health insurance. But you could also say, I would say, use it, let people, you know, use it if they want, instead of buying insurance, to set aside in a special health savings account. You know, they can build savings to pay for health care. You might change the employer-based system. Instead of, you know, the employers buying the insurance, maybe you could have, like, give people large health savings accounts, employees large health savings accounts, that they could use to, you know, buy insurance, pay for health care out of the accounts, and so forth. I would certainly make Medicare and Medicaid more consumer-oriented. I mean, that's really where I would start, is we have to start changing the way we pay for health care. And not just on the small things, too, on the big things. We have to start looking for ways in which, you know, the things that we do insure for, whether it's a hip operation or heart surgery or whatever, that the resources, you know, that the patient will have some decision as to where the resources go, you know, who's going to get paid for performing the surgery, all of those things, you know. But we need to start getting away from this third-party payer model of paying for insurance.
What about dumping money into wellness? Do you think that is an effective use of millions of dollars? Do you think that works? Is there incentive there?
Boy, that's a good question, and I'm not really up to snuff on, you know, wellness programs. I have a funny feeling, though, that government-run wellness programs probably don't have particularly good results. And look, you know, what is a wellness program really going, a government-funded wellness program really going to do that, you know, your own people's and individuals' concern for their own health is not going to do? I mean, you know, it might make a marginal difference here or there, but, you know, at what cost?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. At what cost? As you look out and see now what's happened, which we just talked about, the winners and which is very few. You mentioned that people who couldn't get insurance before, especially, but really the losers in this. Overall, do you think that when we look at this 10 years from now, there's a way that this can be improved upon, or no, this has to be, the most of this, big chunk of this has to be repealed and redo it?
Yeah, I'm definitely with the latter. I think that it's going to have to be repealed. Most of it's going to have to be repealed and replaced. I really think this thing is, you know, to me it's like, people talk about fixing it. Well, how do you fix the Titanic after it struck the iceberg? I mean, you don't. You're just casting about for lifeboats. And I think that's, you know, a good way of describing all this sort of ad hoc rulemaking that the administration has engaged in especially since the exchanges have, you know, started out so disastrously. It's you know, trying to give this group or that group a lifeboat so that, you know, they don't have to face the consequences of this disastrous law.
Yeah. David Hochberg, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit herbalhealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. Herbalhealer.com, working with the power of nature.